Warning, the episode you are about to listen to is for entertainment purposes only. If you are easily offended and do not have a bit of a dark, quirky sense of humor, this podcast may not be for you. All opinions expressed are just for fun. Get ready for some effing and jeffing with Kate and Mark in Back to Bond. Enjoy.
Hey, Bondies!
We are begging for cash, so if you think what we do is all right...
And you want to make a little donation...
Please go to buymeacoffee.com/backtobondpodcast.
Minimum donation is $5, which is around £3.95.
Thanks, Bondies.
I've been expecting you, Mr. Bond.
And welcome to Back to Bond podcast with me, Mark Gibson, and...
me, Kate Nassau.
And together we're Back to Bond. And now we're going to be reviewing...
For Your Eyes Only.
Ba-dung, ba-dung. They mentioned the title in the movie, which
the
you
film,
like.
Which is my favourite. World events for 1981. Oh, I've got some good ones.
Come on then.
I'll try not to say all these because I've wrote loads. We'll start off with assassination attempts, which is quite apt because we're recording this just after Donald Trump's
assassination.
Attempt. There's the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
President Zahar Rahman of Bangladesh is assassinated.
Oh, right.
Not really an assassination attempt, but Marcus Sargent fires 6 shots at the Trooping of the Colour ceremony, which startles the Queen's horse.
Oh, I remember that. Does Charles and Diana got married in 1981?
Yeah.
Had a man too, isn't it?
I mean, the previous year, John Lennon dies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At the end of 1980.
That guy's now still, he'll be in for life, won't he? The one that shot John
Mark
Lennon.
David Chapman.
Yeah.
He was sentenced to life in 81.
All right, because all life means 25 years, is it?
Yeah, I think, so he was 20 years to life. He was eligible for parole after 20 years. But they're never going to let him out.
No, I don't think so.
The supreme leader of Iran, Ali Khamenei, there was an assassination attempt on him, which was a bomb concealed in a tape recorder.
Oh, that's good.
Very Bondy,
isn't
it?
That's very Bondy in that, mind you.
Yeah, so those were assassination-related things. Peter Sutcliffe is found guilty and sentenced to life imprisonment, 13 counts of murder and 7 attempted murders.
Oh, yeah, they reckon there's a few others, don't they?
Yeah.
That he's never kind of taught them where it was and all that.
In other news of 1981, Bobby Sands, famously...
hunger striker, wasn't he?
Spoiler alert, he died in 1981, which was a hunger strike. So his hunger strike started on the 1st of March and he died the 5th of May. He was... elected to Parliament on the 9th of April 1981, so this is like a month into his hunger strike. But the reason for his hunger strike was because in Northern Ireland, or the north of Ireland, in September 77, Bobby Sands is sentenced to 14 years. The year previous, in March 1976, special category status ends in prisons, which means that if you're a political prisoner or a criminal prisoner,
yeah,
you're all treated the same. After 1976, the soft phase allowed special category prisoners.
All right.
Which meant that they had to wear prison uniforms and abide by the rules and do prison work, etc. Whereas, as a political prisoner, you could wear your own clothes, you could, consort with other...
This would be about, like, 7 years into from the troubles starting in 69, isn't it?
Yeah, so started with getting rid of the special category status, and then that started leading to the blanket protests.
Yeah.
Where they wore nothing but a blanket because they were going to put on the prison uniforms. Then that changed to dirty protests. Then leads to hunger strike. If we briefly stay with Northern Ireland for just one more point.
Go on then.
Bernadette Devlin is shot and wounded along with her husband. And I know you're thinking, who's Bernadette Devlin again? I mentioned that in an earlier episode because she was the first
woman MP
in Northern Ireland.
Yes, you did mention it.
Yes.
You did.
So that's an assassination attempt.
That's an assassination attempt too. They're all getting assassinated.
Yeah. So is that a new thing? And your favourite, I'm going to let you see it.
Making your mind up. Won the Eurovision. Second record I ever bought was My Camera Never Lies. I always had a soft spot for Buck's Face. Very good. Adamant.
Yeah.
1981, that was Adamant's year.
Oh, it was?
It was, yeah.
Bob Marley dies.
Oh, he did, yes.
Toe cancer,
yeah. Football, wasn't it?
Yes and no. They always say he got some kind of small injury. Actually, he had a very aggressive melanoma under his big toenail.
Oh my God, what is that?
It was just like a big dark spot. It's like skin cancer. So he thought it was like off a bruise, off playing football.
Ooh.
But it wasn't. And he got it checked out really late. They said, right, it'll probably be okay if we're just going to have to cut that toe off.
Oh.
And he refused to
have his toe amputated
because he's Rastafarian. You're not allowed to have anything amputated, I don't think.
Oh, you've got to go into the next life and exactly the same as you.
I think so.
With maybe. Everything in place.
He had a lot of like holistic remedies and whatnot over 3 years, and it then progressed and then spread to his like lungs and brain and everything.
Oh.
So, sad times for Bob Marley.
Sad times for Bob Marley, yeah. Don't worry about a thing.
Not his song.
Not his song.
Did you know, however, Bob Marley was mixed race?
Oh, yes, I did, because his dad was from Liverpool.
Dad was British? I had no idea about
this. Yeah, his dad was a sailor from Liverpool.
Supposedly, bit of a shit.
Yeah, because I think, did Bob not meet him and it didn't really go down well?
Yeah, I think it was a hump and dump situation and his ma was like 16.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
Shame on you.
Yeah, mixed race, hi.
I mean, not the shame on you mixed race. Shame on you hump and dump.
I know, that was quite sad. A
couple of more things. Oh my God, you must be psychic. He mentioned Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Oh, Don't You Worry About Things, Stevie Wonder song.
Oh God, I love it.
Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder record.
Ebony and Ivory.
That's right. That song sucks.
I fucking hate it.
The worst.
It's a dreadful. We go side by side like a piano. You know?
Two amazing songwriters. Both having an off day. Simon and Garfunkel concert, Central Park, New York, is 1981.
Yes, very good. That's in
September. Excellent concert, excellent live album.
Yep.
Olivia Newton-John, Let's Get Physical, is released. Endless Love is released by Diana Ross and Lionel Richie. Absolute fave.
Yep.
Wings disband.
Oh yeah, they were clipped. Clipped their wings.
Steely Dan is disbanded.
Oh, yes, you're a big Steely Dan fan. So is your daughter.
Yeah, so is my sister.
So is your sister. Regret to inform you that I have never heard much by Steely Span. I know the name, and I probably...
Steely Dan?
Steely Dan. I say Steely Span.
Steely Span? That's like Christ, haven't
it? I shall check them out.
What do you know about the Greenham Common protests?
It was about, weirdly enough, something that gets mentioned in For Your Eyes Only as the Polaris missiles, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It was an anti-nuclear thing. The Green and Common women done a great job, but they were vilified in the press.
Yeah.
And they were the butt of many comedians' joke. How long were they at Greenham Common?
It definitely ran into a couple of years. You don't have any of that now, though.
You don't have any of that kind of protest now, do you?
Yeah. Arthur Scargill becomes president of the National Union of Miners. 1981. Yeah. In For Your Eyes Only, when we do eventually start speaking about the film.
Oh, yes.
Greece enters the European Economic Community in 1981. Which will eventually change into the EU.
Oh, was it the one that they want? Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Aww. Roger Moore portrays Agent 007 with lethal determination as Bond infiltrates the Greek underworld to secure a system capable of controlling a fleet of nuclear submarines. From the depths of the ocean to mountain peaks, Bond will fight to the death to keep this device out of the hands of the Russians in this taut, fast-paced thriller, the 12th in the iconic Bond series.
For your eyes only.
For your eyes only.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh, it's a great song.
Oh, it's such a good song.
I love that song. She's an old one. I've got For Your Eyes Only. It uses a lot of ingredients from Goldfinger on Her Majesty's Secret Service, Live and Let Die, as well as makes reference to On Her Majesty's Secret Service, The Dead Wife, which we'll come to, in what seems to be Blofeld Getting Killed, which we'll also come to. But when I say ingredients, I mean stuff that's in the books.
Oh.
So it's a bit more literary. When you were saying it was a bit less quippy and a bit more thriller, it's true, really, because it was a lot more Fleming-esque.
Yeah, I really liked For Your Eyes Only.
I loved For Your Eyes
Only. I know I said that I didn't like watching it because there's a lot of underwater things that I don't like.
Yeah.
But with the exception of those things, if there was no drowning threat,
yeah,
which there isn't really.
No, because they're always in something, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I really like For Your Eyes.
I really liked it.
I think it was well paced, and I think it had loads of action in it, and it was a great little story, you know.
It was, yeah, it was really tight. I'm just like remembering the film going, it was really good.
For your eyes only. So I've got the church. Bond has gone to put flowers on his dead wife's grave.
Yeah.
The first reference. Well, actually, no. The Spy Who Loved Me has a slight reference.
There's been a couple of shite references.
Yeah.
Previous to this.
Where's my wife, Blofeld? You know.
Just been like really brushed off, and then we've got some nice sentiment.
Yeah, he puts the flowers on the grave, which I thought was a great touch. And then we'll have the priest who does the sign of the cross.
Oh, yeah, love a good Stations of the Cross.
Stations of the Cross. There's a phone call for you, and then the helicopter comes down. Helicopter guy is knocked out.
Yeah, oh, I was just going to mention that the 007 theme has changed.
Oh, yeah, I had funky tune.
Yeah.
It was funky.
So it's a bit like dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun.
Instead of the usual, like you said, Blofeld.
He's not Blofeld because Kevin McClory still had the rights to Thunderball, which is an appallingly slow movie.
Yep, we hated it.
That would be the sound that if you opened the DVD and it had a sound effect on, it would be, you know, Thunderball. And it's the same as our tone that George Michael's Greatest Hits, when you opened up the CD case, it was a flushing toilet. How do you believe this? There isn't any flushing toilet on it, by the way, but that would have been good. That would have been good. I think George would have
I think George Michael would have loved that.
George Michael would have loved it. He had a good sense of humour, man. Helicopter guy is knocked out.
Yeah.
And then Bond has to get out the helicopter. And then he unceremoniously dumps the guy out of the helicopter.
Oh, yes.
Too, while all of this gorgeous, funky music's playing.
Yeah.
And we're into the 80s. And it was gone funkier.
Yeah.
No Felix Leiter, if I remember rightly.
No Felix Leiter, and Blofeld, who isn't Blofeld, is controlling the helicopter via remote control from his wheelchair. So another bit where it's the chimney bit.
Oh, I love that. Stainless steel delicatessen. When he's going like, don't drop us down. I'll get you anything you want.
That is actually Beckton in East London. It was the gasworks, but it's now London City Airport.
Oh, is it?
Not to be confused with Heathrow. Or Stansted.
Oh.
Different airport. Greedy Londoners.
Greedy London flying people. Funky music. I think it's a great opening title sequence. And then we get straight into the song.
Yeah, apart from you've missed that, the plop them down the chimney. The helicopter undercarriage scoops up the wheelchair.
Like indents into that fabric at the back of the wheelchair.
Oh, and yes. With it. And then they plop him down.
There's Telly Savalas.
Yeah.
He's a ring train.
How is he in a wheelchair?
I don't know. There's not much in the way of continuity in Bond movies, so is there?
That is true. But the next time we meet Blofeld, which is...
Spectre. What would my sound effect be if we open the DVD for Spectre? Yeah. What would my sound effect if we open this DVD for Your Eyes Only?
Woo!
Yeah.
It would be just Roger Moore saying, well done, you're in for a good film.
Right, so we've got the glorious song, the title sequence good. Sheena Easton is in the title sequence.
Sheena Easton's in the title sequence. Never before has that happened.
Nope.
The song is wonderful.
I love the song.
Did it win a Grammy?
Yeah, I think it did win a Grammy. I can't remember. I can remember chart-wise where it got.
Nah.
Oh, it reached number 8 on the UK singles chart.
Oscar-nominated theme song. Oh,
Oscar-nominated.
I'm sure it won something. Credits is just James Bond pointing guns and posing. And Sheena Easton singing a song. So it's more like a music video as opposed to a title sequence for James Bond.
Yeah. So after the song, we've got Don't Go in the Boat in a Bond movie because it'll shake. So the boat, the mine blows up.
Bloody hell. So you've got that, you've got the fishing boat. It's really the St. George's disguised as a fishing boat.
Yep.
They're going to a little secret compartment. Handcuffs are swapped.
They are. Yes, that was the bit that we were trying to work out, wasn't it?
So the handcuffs were on the briefcase, which is the ATAC.
Yep.
I think it's a targeting system.
Yeah.
Which was...
It looks like an Atari computer.
Yes.
A little small Atari.
But that would have, those would have been all the rage.
They would have been all the rage.
I think I did write down what ATAC stands for now. I can't find it, but it's a targeting...
Kremlin, ATAC, Gogol, back. It's like a song, isn't it?
It rhymes. You haven't explained what it's like. And then...
General Gogol's back.
They've caught a mine in the fishing net.
Oh, yes, they did, didn't they?
And then there's a big explosion. There's a lot of drowning and screaming. Place is filling up with water.
Oh,
there's that man who we didn't realise until later on. He looks like he's trying to grab something. I thought it was like to close the door.
Oh, yeah.
But it's
too... I had a lot of tension in that scene.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a good scene.
I hate drowning.
You hate drowning. He was trying to grab the thing, wasn't he, and all that.
Yeah, and then we'll mention that later because we'll find out why.
Oh, yeah. Everything gets tied up nicely in this movie.
Which is unusual for a Bond film.
Which is unusual because sometimes you go down a blind alleyway, it never gets mentioned again. There is a distinct feel of a tougher Bond.
Yes, okay, you may refer to Gogol.
Gogol's back. Gogol's back.
So they basically, they know that this ship, this surveillance ship has went down.
Yeah.
The Russians, the Americans, the Brits.
Yeah.
Everyone knows what everyone's doing, even though it's the Cold War.
Yeah.
Just must have been exhausting in those times. Everyone's trying to be underhanded. Like, in real life, like, everyone's trying to be, like, underhanded and spy on each other and surveil each other, but everyone knows about it and...
They've all got the spies of being double-dealing.
Yeah.
Oh.
This couldn't be arsed.
And I've got mother and father get killed.
Yeah, so there's a light aircraft that drops off. We meet Melina, who is...
Melina, who's the Bond girl for this movie.
What's her name in real life? She's famous, she's French, she's not Greek.
She's
half Greek in this. Carol Bouquet?
Melina. She's a very strident, tough Bond girl. I shall fill you in about the mother and the father.
Yes.
Because they have a talking parrot. And they feed this parrot nuts. And the parrot's talking away. This will pay off, by the way, later on in the movie. I thought this was quite brutal because the helicopter goes away. Melina gets off. The helicopter goes away. And then the helicopter circles back round. But you can see the fear and the dread in the eyes of the mum and dad. Because they know that something's up. And so when the helicopter comes down, which we've already had the boat sink, and so it's quite a fast-paced movie.
Yeah.
With no pace to, like, ease.
Because you've only really the
gargoyle.
The gargoyle scene in between that.
Yeah.
And then we're launched into a...
Just straight back into action.
Into a new killing.
Yeah, and it comes down and assassinates the family.
Very good that they didn't hit the daughter, though, Melina, who's just arrived.
Yeah, she was very upset.
She was.
Great actress, though. Carol Bouquet.
Mrs. Bouquet? Mrs. Bucket?
What was her famous thing? What was her husband called? Keep it out of fiance.
Richard! Hyacinth Bouquet!
I knew somebody whose last name was P-E-A-R-S. What does that spell?
Piers.
Not according to her. It was Piers.
Oh! It's like when people's surnames are Cockburn, but they're like Coburn. It's C-O-C-K-B-U-R-N. That's Cockburn.
It's Cockburn. Get yourself to the doctors.
Whee! Melina breaks the fourth wall. Very much looks like it.
She does look straight at Cam. Did she look straight at camera?
She looks straight at camera.
And she goes...
She's all teary-eyed.
She's teary... Oh, yeah, I like that bit.
Because I don't think she says anything. I think she's just horrified that her parents have just been
it's
done
a
down.
How it's played's really good.
Very good actress. Her eyes as well.
The eyes.
Blue eyes.
She's beautiful. She's gorgeous. And then she said the words, "This is just a movie." After then, I think I may have slightly jumped. The atrocity of Moneypenny's perm.
We're in the office.
We're in the office.
Moneypenny's
perm.
Moneypenny's got her own little gadget because she's got a weird little vanity case, mirror.
Oh, box. She does, doesn't she? She's like, Roger comes in and she's doing her thing.
She's quickly putting her lippy on.
Yeah.
Because females may only use gadgets if it's to look more beautiful for men.
Yes, of course.
Or to smell nice for men.
Yes.
Or have the hair in
there's
a
puddle, the woman has to go up there when the man walks over the
they
woman.
They have to lie over the pillow for the
yes.
man to step on them.
I mean, all of this is known. Moneypenny's perm. It's a weird hairdo.
Yeah, I mean, they're just sabotaging Moneypenny at this point.
She doesn't really get that much in it.
It's not the only scene with Moneypenny.
Right.
But she's... Oh, is it?
I think it is. Oh, no, I don't know.
She
Bernard Lee's not
later.
This one, though. But Emmett left by this time. Well, he died.
Stomach cancer.
Ooh, got a towel on him.
This time, so he tosses his hat onto the hat stand, as always.
Yeah.
And he's going to meet with the minister and the chief of staff, because there's no M. M's on leave.
There's no M? Yes, the Polaris St. George's Hector Gonzalez.
Yeah, so we're told from the outset that Hector Gonzalez is the bad guy. And now we're off to Spain.
Yeah. Olives. But you'll never say this word of the word citron. It looks like clip reel. There's no L in it. But I wrote the word citron. Look at that for me spelling for citron.
Yeah, it looks like the word citron.
Does it? I thought,
Oh, right, so you've spelled citrine as
citrine.
Like lemons and limes, whereas citron is slightly
citron.
Different.
I had that car when I was a kid. You know, the little yellow car.
Oh,
I think it's
yeah.
A, yeah, you know, but it just looked like a normal car. Nobody knew
it was
a Bond car.
I thought it was a Mini.
Oh,
we're watching it.
Yeah.
But no, it's a Citroën.
It's a Citroën. Got Gonzalez's lair. Crossbow. Do you remember there was a crossbow killer?
Yes. So we're having a summer house party. The guard just lets James Bond walk past him.
Oh,
because
he
he's making out with a lady.
Practically invites him in for a volleyball. And we're in the scene. We have Caroline Cossey. The first trans woman ever featured in a Bond movie. I don't know if there's many trans women being featured in a Bond movie since. She used to date Des Lynam.
Oh!
Underneath all them cardigans, there was a...
There was a super liberal,
super
awesome
liberal
man. Well, go Des Lynham.
Go Des Lynham. Oh, I think it's quite good, isn't he? He's quite modern, isn't he? There's a great scene in it where they blow up the Lotus Estrid.
You're going to miss out that Hector's killed by the crossbow.
Oh, yeah, Hector got killed by the crossbow.
And you see the glasses man.
Oh, yes, who comes out further on. The glasses man is Emil Leopold.
Yes. Mock.
But I think the blew up the Lotus as if to say that was the 1970s.
Oh.
This is different. We're not having a gadgety car in this one. We're going to have the Citroën. It sort of scales back on all of the gadgets.
Yes, where it's like Bond doesn't need
a
gadgety car. He can still beat the bad guys.
We're going to be serious in this one.
Oh, yeah, I missed that, actually.
I was thinking that. I've got hairdresser driving car, because the guy looked quite camp in it. You know, got the car chase with a Citroën.
I quite liked the car chase. I thought it was pretty good.
It was interesting.
It's a lot of windy streets. It's a lot of mountain bits.
The music's funky.
Music's good. It flips over on its roof at one point.
It does, and then it rolls over, doesn't it? And then
yeah.
And then he gets at one point, he has to get them to push it over and all that.
Yeah.
Yellow car escapes. He gets to say, "My name is Bond, James Bond."
Yeah, and I like the bit after all of the chaos. He says, "Love a drive in the country, don't you?" And Melina laughs, but it actually looks like a proper genuine laugh.
Oh, I think that was a mistake that they kept in.
Oh.
I thought that was because the laugh's very natural.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking that and I thought, she laughed very naturally. That was good. I like that. There was a chemistry between Roger and her.
Yes.
Which was very good. She explains the story about her mum and dad who get killed.
Oh, yeah, that's in the Hotel Bella Vista. Melina's half Greek.
Yep.
So she's all about revenge.
She wants that revenge.
She's fiery.
Before you seek revenge, you must dig two graves.
That's true.
I like that. Right, cue scene.
We're back in the office.
Come on, get back in the office.
They walk through the little lab and they've got that man and he's wearing a fake arm cast. And
it flips off
and smashes.
Yeah.
And then...
Smash. What does he say?
The umbrella.
Oh, the umbrella, yes.
It's got little claws on the end and then it gets touched at the top and it snaps back down. Then Bond's like, dinging in the rain.
It's the status of the rain. Didn't somebody got killed by an umbrella? Didn't the spy of the umbrella was tipped?
Yes.
So it was quite a bit of a reference to that. Russians. Big nose. Because he makes the nose really big, doesn't he, on that, like, the computer thing.
Oh, yeah, so we've got the identigraph.
I like that.
It was good. It looks shit now compared to what we have computer-wise. But it was so funny because it was like a kind of...
Guess Who?
Oh, my God. It was like... I was about to say Guess Who.
Were you? It was like an episode of Guess Who.
It was like Guess Who on the computer, cut and paste.
Yeah.
But then...
Can you put them glasses a bit more like that?
Miraculously.
Yeah.
Out of that dot matrix printer, almost a photograph of Emil, because that identigraph is that accurate.
Yeah. Imagine a two-year-old and drawn a picture. You know, slung that down and the mother went, "Oh, I can tell who that is." You know.
Yeah, but then they print it out and it looks like a Van Gogh.
It looks like a Van Gogh, yeah. So it's Emil Leopold Locke, which is a great name.
Odd bit though. Sharon comes in and makes the tea.
Oh, he likes that. Q liked that, didn't he? Because he went, "Thank you, Sharon."
It's just such a weird... Why has she interrupted to bring in the tea? Is this the only reason why this woman is employed in the laboratory?
To make
tea maker.
Yeah.
But then he also, like... You think she's going to be some kind of character because they've named her...
Sharon.
But no, we don't see Sharon again.
It's a good scene though, because obviously after then...
Oh yeah, it was a fine Q scene. You got to see extra gadgets.
You got to see Q is always good. Computers.
Hates Bond. Just hates him.
You fuck.
He has no time for Bond.
No time for Bond. That would be a good Bond movie if we're thinking of one.
Yeah.
You know where I'll be?
Just be loads of people, "Oh my God," it would be like... A film, but like the Spectre organisation. And so it's like from their point of view and how much they hate James Bond. Yeah. And they've got no time for Bond.
They've got no time for Bond. Right. Toffolo cable car guy in hat.
So the, he's going
to... Work that one out.
It's like a fucking haiku. He's going to meet Ferreira. Is that the bit where he goes in the hotel and there's a message on the mirror?
Oh, yes. In the steam.
In the steam.
Yeah.
Which I thought said, Toffin a Iowam, but did a little bit of research.
What was
it? And it's Toffin a, which is a place, in that Iowam is fucking 10 a.m. And that's where he's meeting.
Oh.
It's the place and the time. And so Ferreira is put that on the mirror. Because that's pretty cool, like secret spy stuff.
That's good, that bit. And then you've got the guy in the hat is called Luigi. Because we see him following Bond around, don't we?
Luigi Ferreira.
Is it Bibi?
Who's
innocent in the ways of the world?
Oh, yes.
Not that innocent.
So we're watching Bibi ice skate.
Yeah.
Which I thought, multiple things, reminiscent of Teresa ice skating.
Oh, yeah.
Back in, on Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Yeah.
Secondly, big year for Torvald and Dean, 1981.
Big year for Torvald and Dean. Bells rip. I was a fucking dancer. Torvald.
I don't know, Tom Lindeen. That's all I know.
The fucking dance I've done.
Now they do ice dancing with the stars. No, I don't know what that's called.
Oh, God, yeah.
Ice drinking with Tom Lindeen.
Philip Schofield was on it, wasn't he?
What's it called?
Dancing ice skating.
Dancing on ice.
Yeah. BB, Innocent in the Ways of the World. We'll see Locke, Columbo's right-hand man with the sign of the dove on his little
Porch. So we meet Ari. Uncle Ari!
Oh, God, yeah, he's not a very good villain.
No, yeah, he's a bit shit.
Yeah.
Obviously, we won't spoil it. Uncle Ari really turns into a different person. I've just revealed it. Bibi is an ice skater and she's got a sponsor, Ari. He's making sure she's going to get the Olympics.
Oh, yeah, very topical.
But under a promise of, like, once he's got her the gold, he's going to get her gold.
Gold! Like, spandal
band. Oh, my God,
gold.
Yeah.
Gold.
Apart from, we'll find out a bit later, she gave her gold away.
Treasures have been leaked. Then we've got there's a telegram apparently sent to Bond, which was not. Melina and Bond meet up again, don't they?
Yeah, they're gonna
Because there's the motorcycle rider goes through the window, the florist, doesn't he?
Yes, and
say it with flowers. Roger makes a little quippy quip.
He just sees her in the square, but he notices some motorbikes and they're trying to kill Melina.
Yeah, they're trying to kill him.
And then he bosses them, he hits them with a gas board. I like that bit.
Oh, yeah, that bit was good. I like that.
He sends her back to Corfu after a little horse and cart ride.
Oh, yes, I've got that. The horse ride. She goes back to Corfu. Bibi's in the shower.
Goes back to the hotel. Someone's in his shower.
Someone's knocking at the door.
And I was just thinking, obviously it's Bibi, as you've just said. Imagine though if it was Brink, our coach. Wouldn't be fucking hilarious. And do you know what? I was thrilled that Bibi gets into his bed nude.
She does.
He rejects our advances.
Oh, he does, yeah.
There is an age that Bond won't shag. Yes. And I did me research. That age is 16. Well done. Well done, James Bond and the writers. 1981.
He's not going to do it.
He's not going to shag a 16-year-old.
He's not going to go. Lynn Holly Johnson. Not Holly Johnson, the thinger was just Lynn put at the front. But Lynn Holly Johnson, the American.
I thought she was quite good.
She was good. She was very... Which is quite fully rounded, though, for a Bond movie.
Yeah, yeah. Was she an actual... She must have been an ice skater in real life. And then
kind of thought, right, we'll get her.
I thought she was very good.
Oh, she was goodness. Yes, she was good. And he does kind of... He kind of shows out, but in a nice way.
He is very nice to her.
He doesn't slap her.
Doesn't slap her. And he's not like, get the fuck away from me, you child. He rejects her in a very good way.
He does. He rejects her in a great way.
And then we're off to see...
Skiing.
It's the biathlon, which means it's cross... This is a winter
event, yes, it is. It's
where it's the, like cross-country skiing.
And then they have to shoot that
with
target.
With a bit of shooting.
And then you've got Eric in it, isn't it?
Eric.
The Third Reich guy.
Yeah, and so she's got the hots for Eric.
Eric
just is not impressed. He just doesn't want to know BB.
He's not. He's just going, Eric, fuck you. Fuck off.
I know, it's so sad. He rejects her in
Bond's
a bad way.
Rejected. But in a nice way, because he didn't want to seem like a creepy dad or something.
Although, I did like, don't grow up anymore. The opposite sex would never survive it.
And then pats her on the bum as she leaves. Gun gets shot out of hand.
Oh, yeah. So Bond has left BB.
Yeah.
And he's skiing off. And then Emil.
Emil. Don't take me out for Emil. Emil's good because he's quite lurking.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't have... Does he speak? In this entire film, I've just thought of this.
I don't think he does.
I don't think he speaks.
I think he just lurks.
Or maybe, does he speak at the beginning when he's talking to...
Oh, when he's in Gonzalez's lair.
Yes.
Or am I speaking?
That might be the only time he really speaks. Which makes it worse.
Yes, I think it's better. And he's got his little dove thing there. Mm. You know, his little emblem. Charles Dance appears.
Charles Dance. Oh, it's Eric that shot the gun out of his hand.
Yes. James Bond's bikes, Bond chairs, skis over the table, which I love that bit where it skis over the, you know, he's skiing down and skis on the table.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that bit was good. And then we're back to the bobsleigh.
Oh, yeah, well, we'll get a little ski jump.
Well, there's a lot of action in it, though, isn't there?
He ends up getting forced down a ski jump, of all things.
Oh, God, yeah. Bum, bum, bum. That music was good. Do you remember the music?
Yeah.
Bom, bom, bom. Yeah, he gets forced out. Eric chucks his bike.
Oh, my God. I love that bit.
Yeah. He just goes there. He went, oh, fuck, they're going to chuck the bike.
Yeah, I just kept on writing, Eric is shit. Oh, yeah, so he throws his motorbike. That's when on the bobsled track, Bond comes off the track. And then he's trying to get him with a crossbow.
Yeah.
And then he runs out with the crossbow arrows. And then he throws the crossbow at him.
Oh, no.
It's very undignified.
Oh, no, he's pissed off. He's not very good, though.
That's just ended. And
that's just ended.
Goes to see BB.
Bond gets hit by hockey players. I thought this bit was quite horror-y. When the hockey players are thinking like that and they switch the light. And I was thinking, ooh, it's the only time you really feel that you're going to kick the shit out of them.
Yeah, it was creepy. I'm sure that they turned the lights off or something.
They did, aye. Because the machine was going round, wasn't it? The thing that cleans the ice or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then them hockey players are like that. And then they double back round.
And then they, like, circle him. I'm sure they circle him.
But they have a funny cop-out because all of them end up in the goal, don't they?
Yeah.
But that bit was good. And then he gets out of there and he finds...
beats up those hockey kids.
Beats up the hockey kids. And then he finds out
Luigi.
Luigi.
Ferreira.
Luigi has been killed.
Yeah, he's just sat in the car, deed.
And he thinks, oh, my God, right, well, what I'll do is I'll get him out of the car because he's going to make a mess. Stick him in the bin. They'll be all right. But he finds the dove pin, yeah.
The place that they're skiing down and ice skating, etc. That is in the Dolomites, which is in Italy. And it was actually built for the Winter Olympics in 1956, which was hosted in Italy.
Oh, awesome.
So that ski jump and bobsled, I'm assuming they've maintained it and not just left it.
I like that ski thing. I thought it was really... I couldn't go on it.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, God, it's too high.
But yeah, so that's... So that was all the official kind of Winter Olympics.
Oh, yeah. So you get your skiing and then you got the bit of bobsleighing, bit of the skating, bit ties, everything.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about skiing? Bond movies.
Posh, isn't it?
Posh. Oh, yeah. God, that is real. It's very posh. Bond and Melina in Corfu.
Yes. Yep.
Bundy and the Countess, who the Countess is Piers Brosnan's wife, isn't it? Remember what I told you?
His first wife?
Yeah.
Died of cancer.
I keep saying this.
Fucking hell.
This word is coming up a lot. You know,
it is actually, isn't it?
It is. Bundy, the Countess. I've got Ouzo salad and prawns. And then we are introduced to Columbo, who is played by the fiddler on the roof, Mr. Topol.
Yeah.
If I Was a Rich Man. Have you seen that movie?
Nah.
It's his mistress.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I was just going to go back to Bungie. He gets a lot of screen time for nothing.
Oh, yes. He's a famous character and he's got a funny eye.
Oh, is that why they had him in for a bit?
Yeah. He was in loads of, say, Minder and stuff like that. He'd be featured in it. And he was quite well-known, sort of 70s, 80s sort of thing. Obviously, they'll be thinking, oh, well, everyone knows him.
Everyone knows him. Oh, you know, right, okay. Because yeah. I didn't know. I was just like, why have they got this man in just to embarrass the fuck out of him? But yeah, obviously, they wanted that little cameo to run for a minute or so. So there we go.
Oh,
that's
yes,
why.
Because we have the Chinese detective in View to a Kill, which I was telling you was a TV show.
Oh, right, yeah.
All the way along the line, that's always the Bond movies.
Yeah. Obviously, Charles Dance, like you said earlier.
Charles Dance, yeah. Usually the year that they made reference some kind of pop culture-y thing that's happened, really, yes. Don't they? It's how they remain current.
As you were saying, it's Uncle Larry has dinner with James. They're having Ouzos. There's no fucking martinis here.
Oh, God, yes. Ouzo. Had
Ouzo. Ouzo before. I've had Ouzo. It's like aniseed.
Yeah.
Oh, I think someone may have brought it back from Greece. I've drank
it's something that you can't drink a lot of.
I hate aniseed things. But Greece is famous for so many more things other than ouzo. But that tends to be what everyone brings back from holiday.
Yeah. I've never been to Greece. You've been to Greece?
No.
Both of them been to Greece.
Greece is the word.
Greece is the word, yeah.
Liesl von Schlaf.
Who turned out to be from Manchester.
So him and Larry are chatting on over dinner. Uncle Larry's like, oh, don't worry about Columbo because he's not going to shit where he eats.
Yeah. That's a great term.
But then Columbo's got all the tables bugged.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she does drop a note.
She drops a note, yeah.
She does.
She drops a note like that. She puts the thing down. Oh, Topol was listening on a tape.
Yes.
He had the whole thing taped, didn't he?
Yeah, the whole thing taped. They think, although Bond's going to follow up, both Larry and Bond know it's a trap or think it's a trap.
Oh, yeah, God, I.
And
yeah.
Melina is also in the... Melina is also in the casino. She's not thrilled.
She doesn't like it.
Doesn't matter because Bond's going to get his end away.
He's getting his end away with the Countessa, who isn't from Austria, but is from Liverpool.
Oh, this is where you're seeing champagne and oysters.
Champagne and oysters. And, of course, she doesn't last too long. Because in a scene very reminiscent from what happened, Bond trying to rescue his wife in Honor of Majesty's Secret Service, he's on a beach, and she's on a beach.
Yes. So, they've had sex.
Yep.
The Countess. I've just got the Countesses on the game. I don't think she is, really. I think she's kind of an escort, but she doesn't necessarily have to sit with them.
No, I don't think so. I think she can just be seen, because she's glamorous, she can just be seen on the arms constantly.
Yeah, and
not
she...
that there's anything the matter in being a prostitute, of course.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll say a sex worker now. Sex worker. Even though I said... No, because I was referring to me saying on the game.
On the game. Nintendo.
So, she is Shag 27.
The chase in the sand, I thought was quite brutal.
Back on the beach.
Back on the beach. Gets...
Emile's there.
Yeah, he's back.
And then it's a bit of a horror. He's just going to run them down.
Oh, yeah.
Bit unsophisticated.
Gets knocked over. Bond gets knocked out. But then we meet Columbo.
Well, the Countess...
I know. The Countess gets killed.
The Countess gets killed. Just...
She gets right over. Does she not go right over?
She goes over the car.
Oh, God, yeah. It's definitely a stunt person. So it's not like a prop, you know, like where they'd use like a mannequin. Yeah. Or something. It's definitely a stunt woman.
It's a pretty harsh death for the Countess.
Bloody James will have bloody PDS, what you call it, because of having to remember his wife on a bloody beach.
I know.
And all these... bloody things, skiing references
skiing,
and all
ice skaters.
That. Columbo.
Columbo. I loved Columbo.
He couldn't stop eating them pistachio nuts.
Fucking hell, addicted.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah, oh, that's all right. And he was eating all the time. He was a great character because he was warm, he was friendly. He was a bit like the Teresa's dad.
Draco.
You said that, like, didn't you? He was a bit like Draco.
Does it get explained why they've all got doves on the scuba, you know, when they first knock out James and haul him onto Columbo's little sailboat?
Oh,
why
no.
Do they have doves on the scuba suits?
Do you know why? I don't think they did. Oh, no, actually, it wasn't an organisation or anything, though, was it?
I think he's a smuggler. I don't think, you know, he's fucking branded.
Smuggler, no drugs. That's why he said, I don't smuggle drugs.
Yep. He smuggles gold, cigarettes, pistachios.
A lot of things.
I think that's just for his own personal collection. But he never smuggles heroin.
Yeah.
And it's all like...
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy, but he's kind of like, I will prove this to you.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, let's enjoy this drink. Columbo's trying to persuade Bond that Larry's the bad guy. So I checked because I was thinking Italy to Albania and the go on the ship to...
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Ship, like a big boat, through the night. And technically, if they went from Brindisi in Italy, you could actually get to Durres in Albania in 6.5 hours.
Durres?
I think it's like Durres.
Durres.
I don't speak Albanian. It's feasible that they could have sailed from Italy to...
Oh, they could have done
to
it.
...to Albania within that time and sneak up on Emile.
Oh, that's good, because the shootout there is good.
The shootout is very good.
Oh, I love that shootout. It was very good.
It's a lot of, like, swinging off from the boat, shooting.
Oh, God,
There's a warehouse.
Because there's raw opium, isn't there?
Yeah,
which... Bond does a little cutout anyway. It's not my usual brand, but I'll have a lick of that opium before I get going.
Is it disguised as paper?
I thought it was paper, because there were big lots...
Like spools of
spools,
something.
Spools, yeah. That you would think would be printing the Daily Mail or something.
Just use fucking toilet paper.
Is the Daily Mail supporting Labour? Is that how Labour got it? No, it was the Sun.
It was the Sun.
The Sun, oh God, yeah.
Oh, there's a payoff with those pistachios, if you remember.
Oh, yes. Does he not put them so when somebody stands on the...
Yeah. Yes. So he throws them on the ground, which you think, oh, he's wasted these nuts.
He's spraying his nuts all over here.
And then someone eventually stands on them, so they know to shoot in that direction.
It's great because it's not fantastical and it's all doable. Do you know what I mean? Where before it would be slightly... Oh, Roger would have quipped somewhere in it. But it's all played quite straight down the line and you kind of believe that they've got to do this
yeah.
to get there. There's a grenade explosions. There's lots of explosions.
There's a lot of explosions in this opium warehouse. Eventually, it leads to...
Oh, he runs after
Emil. So it's kind of like dawn now, and Emil explodes the warehouse.
Yeah, but then
Emil's in the car, and Bond is running, which I thought was pretty good.
Yes, he had his sonatogen, a vitamin C injection that day.
He's been eating those nuts, got all that protein.
One of my favourite scenes in that Bond movie.
Oh, it's pretty good. The car ends up having a little snafu and is hanging off the side of a cliff.
It is indeed. And Emil thinks that Bond is going to probably save him somewhat.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
Doesn't. Tosses that dove pin in.
He does. And it goes over like that, doesn't it? Does he not give it a good push, though?
He kicks it.
Oh, like, does he give it a push? On it. Yeah, he didn't want to do that. John Glenn, the director, went, you've got to do it because it'll look iconic. And he went, oh, no, it's not my Bond.
Oh, it was badass.
It was badass Bond.
I know it's gross, but like, I like that he fucking stomped that car off. Bloodthirsty.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So I were probably about an hour and a 1 hour into the movie by this point, and it hasn't pace wise it hasn't let up.
Yeah.
You know what? Because we're still kind. Because what we've got is we've got a great story and we've got great actors and they've cast well. The story is tight. There's no flab on, like, anywhere in it. There's no kind of bits where you think, oh, fucking hell.
There hasn't been a scene yet where I've thought, oh, they could have cut that out.
Just speed that bit along.
Which is unusual. I mean? Again, very unusual for a Bond film, with me not saying, well, they could have cut that scene out, that was shit.
Yeah, because there's always
they could have cut Sharon out. She wasn't needed.
Yeah.
But that Q scene was needed.
The Q scene was great, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Q scene. And then I've got Melina's Parrot's Daily Log.
Under the sea, Melina, she's diving about in a scuba tank.
Yeah.
But then she leaves the tank and starts free diving.
She does.
To the point where I was like, what you doing that for? Don't just take a tank off and then swim to the surface. But she does.
She done it.
And maybe that's going to come back later. Maybe not. Who knows? This is a Bond film, so it could have no significance.
We'll have a wreck. We'll have a two-man submarine.
Yeah.
Find the St. George.
In the Neptune submarine, the two-man little... That's where I've got.
I quite like that, though. Little submarine.
It's quite good. And then, so they want to find the spy ship because they need to destroy the A-tank. No one else can use it.
We see a shark. There's an explosion.
Oh, when they get in the St. George.
Oh, you didn't like that. Yeah.
And it's just all the dead...
The dead seamen.
So you see all the dead people, seamen. Hey, that guy was good because he managed to like hold his breath but have his mouth open and his eyes open.
It was like that. I thought it was quite good. I don't know how he would have done that.
So that was a part of jump scare.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. It was very... There's a lot of kind of horror-y bits in it, I thought.
And because I can't help but be hyper-realistic, I was wondering how many days this had been because all those bodies are pretty good. There's no skin slippage. There's no bloating.
The fish had nibbled them. Yeah.
I'm not saying there would have been skeletons by that point, but there definitely would have been some flesh missing.
The wouldn't have looked as good.
And the eyes and the lips are normally the first to go. That's a little tidbit for anyone with pets.
But that was good. I liked that bit. I thought it was good seeing. It was well played.
It was very tensiony.
Where you were thinking, oh my God, and then there was a fight and all that.
Oh yeah, we don't know who he's with, but we've got Pincer Man.
Yeah.
Who's in a kind of futuristic...
The white suit thing.
Yeah. That has metal claws, like pincers.
Pincer, yeah.
So I just call him Pincer Man. So that's why it's so tense, is because their suits, it's like the heavy breathing.
Yeah.
Like the shh, shh, over and over, and that's like horror-y.
Oh, yeah.
So like, that's what makes it really tense, is that it's quite quiet apart from the oxygen. And because yeah, Pincer Man clips Melina's oxygen tube.
Oh, yes.
So I wasn't happy.
I wasn't happy.
So she kind of needs to get out. There's a bit of a tussle between Bond and Pincer Man. Then yeah, the filing cabinet falls on top.
Oh, God, I was just thinking about that bit. All of it is ranked up tension.
Yeah.
And the fact that, as you say, if you're watching it on the cinema and you're like certain age, you'll be going, trying to hold your breath.
Yeah.
You know, so it sort of, it brings everything back, doesn't it?
Because don't they only have like 8 minutes worth of oxygen or something?
Yeah,
ridiculous.
It's got a real time frame.
Can't just have like an hour's worth of oxygen for like a 2 minute job.
And then I've got the word explosion.
Yeah. I like, because he sets the bomb off.
Oh, God, yeah,
he does. Timer.
Yep, he does, aye.
And then the bomb explodes just before the jumping out of the hole that was caused by the landmine.
Yeah.
I quite liked it because you're on Pincer Man's face and it looks like he's mouthing the word shit. And then it explodes.
Thankfully, it's not long. It's not Thunderball long.
Oh, yeah.
But it's got a lot of interesting bits in it for to keep your attention span. You know what I mean? From wandering. They get back on the ship, don't they?
They get back on the ship.
Eric Spawner.
Oh, fucking hell, I. Did I write that? Oh, God, or did I?
Did you? I wrote that down. Eric Spawner. Dot parrot.
They've emerged from the sub. Uncle Larry and the bad guys are there.
Oh, they're naughty.
Twist. Uncle Larry's really the bad guy.
He's naughty.
Columbo's not the bad guy.
No, he's a goodie.
Eric, from previous scenes, is wearing what can only be described as short shorts. And we all get a full view of Eric. For some reason, this cameraman maybe liked Eric. I was thinking, didn't like Eric very much and did a crotch shot. Maybe liked Eric a bit too much. Got a crotch shot in. Because now, for the rest of the film, I'm never going to look at Eric the same way again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was an eyeful.
My God.
You know, Bond and Melina are tied together.
Yep.
They cut them so the blood, so the shark will get them.
Oh, yeah, but then... So I didn't like that the cut Melina out of her jumpsuit, like, tit first.
Oh.
Which was weird.
Yeah.
They didn't have her in a bikini.
They didn't, which was alright. But they tie them together, don't they? And they have to go round. And I quite like that when they're going round in the boat. But he does the thing where he locks it underneath the rocks, doesn't he?
Yeah, he ties it. So they're being dragged over the coral by Larry's speedboat /yacht. And it's cutting them each time, and then eventually they tie it or
the see the sharks,
it.
Yeah.
And so Larry thinks that they're going to get eaten by the sharks, but really, they're
but
fine.
They don't get eaten by the sharks because the wreck that's at the bottom of the ocean has one of her old things in, doesn't it? So it pays dividends.
Yeah, her leaving that tank and doing some sea littering.
Yeah.
Pays off.
So they can breathe through there, and then he thinks, obviously, they're dead.
I like the bit where, initially, when they're tied up, Melina's like,
"Yeah,
I didn't think it would end like this." And then Bond's like, "We're not dead yet." And I'm just like, oh, my God, this is his bread and butter, isn't it?
Come on,
yes, it looks like we're going to die, but I assure you, we are not.
I've got henchman gets eaten by a shark.
Is it Charles Dance? No.
No, because he got shot at the beach.
Oh, yeah.
It just must have been a generic... Yeah, the parrot, when they get back on the boat, the parrot gives the game away that the
ATAC
is it's St. Cyril's.
That's St. Cyril's.
Before we get to St. Cyril's, we'll have Q dressed as a priest.
Yeah, we're going to go to...
Was he a Jewish priest?
No, I think he's a Greek Orthodox. So we're going to go to... I think we're still in Greece.
Yep.
And, he goes at the little confession box...
Oh, I like that bit. That's probably the mainly comedic bit that... Oh, that's it.
That's in it.
Yeah.
It's good though, because it puts a light and dark feel, so it's not just all kind of thingy. BB's pissed off because now there's the lair, which is a big church, which apparently was real, and they were going to film on it, but the people asked for too much money, so then they had to recreate it.
St. Cyril's is Metoria in central Greece. It was originally 24 monasteries, but at the time of filming, there was only 5 left. But they were actually built in the 14th century during the Serbian Byzantine Wars.
Very good.
They meet up with Columbo at the bottom of the mountain.
Yeah.
James Bond is scampering up. BB's taking a stand.
Oh, she's pissed.
Larry, I'm not shagging you.
I'm not shagging you. You're old man.
The climb's pretty good.
Oh, God, yeah, because I hate heights.
Oh.
It's well filmed on the side of the cliff where he's hanging. Falls off a thing like that, and you think, oh my God, he could have killed
him.
Died on it.
We've got an Italian Adam Driver who's the henchman.
Yeah.
Who's trying to kick him down, and then he uses these shoelaces to.
Oh, yeah, he does, doesn't he?
I've got like the shimmy up there.
He shimmies up. Yeah.
It's a mountaineering knot called a Prusik knot, which is a sliding grip knot.
A sliding crib. Sliding slip knot.
There you go, Prusik knot.
Prusik knot. BB prepares for escape with the woman who plays the coach. How you were saying have quite a good mother and daughter kind of vibe, didn't
Brink.
You? Brink, yeah.
I really like that. So, but you took the same impression as.
Yeah, Irma Blunt. In the
human lesbian,
yeah,
whereas I thought that it was more mothering, protective kind of relationship. I mean, this is James Bond.
There's always some like a governess,
who doesn't want to shag James Bond.
Yeah, it's just sort of like, oh God, concentrate on your ice skating, BB.
Yeah. In between that, we've got
That guy tries to kick the thing.
Trying to kick all the pegs out. Is James Bond's climbing up?
That was quite frightening. And then on the side of the thing, you actually felt like he was like gripping on, didn't you? Finally, managed to get everybody up in that basket thing.
Oh yeah, that was good. Italian Adam Driver dies. The henchman.
Oh, yes.
Because I can't remember how he just dies.
He just dies.
Yeah, he just gets chucked. Oh, James chucks him off. And they think it's him.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah.
Columbo and everyone.
Yeah. And so we'll have all of them. They all have a bit of a battle inside the lair. Bond fights Eric. BB's well off Eric now.
Oh, God, yeah. Trying to leave. And her and Brink are trying to kind of sneak away.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Goggle's coming up.
Goggle.
Jesus
General
Christ.
Goggle.
He's in fucking every film.
General Goggle.
Larry slaps BB. And then Eric slaps her. This is the scuffle within the stained glass window room.
Yeah.
Bond and Eric go through the stained glass window.
Oh, obviously. God, yes. Yeah, yeah. The do. Christianus is dead.
Is that?
I thought that was the name of the villain.
Imagine calling Larry.
Larry's dead.
He's like called Aristotle something. Columbo and Larry have a little fight.
Yeah.
And then Melina's about to kill Larry, but then Columbo kills Larry before Larry kills James.
Yeah. Does BB give Columbo a hug or something?
Wow.
A little kissy-kissy.
Oh, yes. Well, after that bit, BB's found a new sponsor.
Oh, yes.
So she's well.
I'm going to take you to the top. Ow! Ow! She's eating his peanut.
I don't know why he's eating there.
That's the next movie. Octopussy.
Google. What the fuck's his Goggle?
Goggle
comes to get the ATAC, which I don't think he's a bit brazen, isn't he? Just thinking that Bond's going to hand it over. And then Bond throws it over the cliff And I think he says...
That's detente.
I feel like he says something about detente.
Detente.
Or maybe, like, well, no one's got it now, so no one has the advantage.
That's one of my favourite twists in a Bond movie. Because you always think, right, he's going to keep the machine. When I first seen it, I thought, oh, God, what a really downbeat ending. The more I watch it now, the more I think the ending's perfect.
The ending's great, but also, like, after he chucks it off, you think, oh, like, Gogol's gonna go fucking nuts. He just fucking smiles and walks away.
He does that, doesn't he? He puts his hands up and he goes, to go, well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought, like,
yeah,
good sport.
And then there's only the ending.
Yeah, we've got the last scene. We're back on Melina's yacht.
We're back on the yacht. They're getting to know each other. Margaret Thatcher and Dennis Thatcher show up.
Yeah, so...
on the telephone.
Melina has whipped off her dressing gown.
Oh, yeah.
For your eyes only, darling.
For your eyes only.
Shag 28, Melina.
As we say, we have the famous...
Maggie Thatch.
Maggie Thatcher. But it's the parrot talking, isn't it? Show us your knickers. This is not what I'm saying to Kate, by the way. So, but the, that'd be wrong. Oh, Mr. Bond. Oh, stop it. I'll go and sink the Falklands for this.
And then it's all, kiss a kiss.
Kiss a kiss. No. Oh, well, maybe. But,
oh, well, when you're next in London.
Look me up.
And then
that's it, really.
Credits, they're swimming, probably nude, under the water.
Thereth ends a Bond movie that I think we should give out of 7. 6. Ooh.
Yeah, I liked it that much.
That was a definite 6. Yeah, go on, I'll give 6 too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty much perfect Bond movie. And I think it's a Bond movie that you can watch at any point.
Yeah.
In fact, ever since we've been talking about it, I quite fancy the idea of watching it again.
I know.
You know what I mean? So I'm kind of thinking, oh, God, yeah, I could just watch it. It's so good.
It was a really good film. Did you think of your alternative
Bond?
So to set the scene, Roger Moore has had an ankle injury on the first day of filming.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it's an emergency. They have to get someone else to play Bond. Who's it going to be? My alternative Bond would be Tom Selleck. I love Tom Selleck.
You do love Tom Selleck. He could have brought a good angle, I think.
He's strong, he's toned, slightly hairy, but I don't mind that. The mustache makes him very masculine. He's got the comedic chops. But if you've also seen him in, like, Blue Blood, he's also very good at serious things. He could have just worked all those quips. Magnum P.I. was quite action-y.
Actually, no, you would have been good.
You would have been fantastic.
You would have been good. I might go for somebody who actually, I think, auditioned for the Bonds, which was Jeremy Irons.
Oh.
If I remember rightly, he did audition for the role. And obviously... I didn't get it because it was a thing where Moa was going to not do the next one, then he was going to do the next one. Because he was getting on a bit by the time it got a View to a Kill.
Yeah.
But yeah, brilliant. What is our other bit?
Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons, I think, would be a good Bond.
I think he would have been quite good. Could he have done...
Could he have done action?
I think he could have done action. I've seen Die Hard 3.
Oh, yes, God, yeah.
Would have been good at that. I don't know how the comedic aspect of it, but I mean, fine choice.
Jeremy Irons.
I mean, definitely doesn't beat my Tom Selleck, but
I like your Tom Selleck, though. Your Tom Selleck's good.
Bond's age now, for your eyes only, 51.
Ooh, that's startlingly creeping up.
Getting on.
He's fucking creeping up. Them liver spots are showing. But he's still got another goodie in the bank. So.
Mark and Kate will return for...
Octopussy. But only for you.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. If you've liked this episode, please tune in next time.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Back to Bond Podcast and email backtobondpodcast@gmail.com.